Well, hello again. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I welcome you today and thank you for listening in and studying with us. Today we're going to go back into study number 15, the letter O for obedience. And we have done a few programs on this obedience study so far, and just to recap just a little bit, we have just going right over the very first one right there where we talked about all the suicide statistics and things like that, which are terrible, and do show quite a bit of evidence about how obedience is honored and obedience is even thought about. A country that has that kind of statistics and age groups that only want to take their own life and can't find anything to live for doesn't have very much obedience in society there where these statistics are taken. So we can't brag very much about obedience in the United States. People have pretty well gone, the United States has pretty well gone Laodicean. And we are definitely in that age and in that dispensation. We're the dispensation of grace, but at the very end of it, where the Lord was talking to the church of Laodicea and was telling us about that church in the book of Revelation, where it thinks it's something else. It's talking about the Christians and how they think that. Boy, they're just really rich, and boy, they got it good, and things are just going just as real good and everything else, but it's a complete selfishness is what it is, and it's got no concern and no sacrifice for anybody except for itself, unless there's something in it for me. Me. Christ's kind of love, and the love of Christ is sacrifice. The Lord said, after you have suffered a while, that he establish you, settle you, and strengthen you. So that's not what we're seeing in the Christian realm today. It's my rights, the people's rights, and that's what Laodicea means, is the people's rights. And that's it. That's exactly what it is. And the opposite of obedience, well, not the opposite, but one thing that contradicts obedience is selfishness. My rights. I want my rights. I know my rights. And, you know, so that's what everybody's hollering today. And that's where we get these statistics from. So nobody can brag about obedience. But, you know, in the Christian realm and in the people that are serving the Lord Jesus Christ and waiting for his second coming and waiting for him to return, there should be no kind it shouldn't be mentioned once among us, like the Bible says, this matter of not being obedient and being rebellious. Now, first thing that we talked about was God's attitude regarding obedience. Remember that? And then right after that, we went into God's attitude regarding disobedience, and that it was the same. It was like the sin of witchcraft in the eyes of the Lord, remember? And the penalty in the Old Testament for rebellion under the Mosaic law was death by stoning. And they didn't make no two ways or buts about it. I mean, you showed out and you wasn't willing to repent and straighten it up, then out to the rock pile you went. And mama and daddy was the one that took you out there. So you see, you say, well, bro, we don't live in a society like that nowadays. No, you don't. No, you sure don't. And that's the reason things go on the way that they do nowadays, and that there's no obedience, and a little 10-year-old girl or 10-year-old boy will cuss you out better than a drunkard. So there's no obedience. And obedience comes, and there's certain ways that the Bible talks about establishing obedience in children. There's certain ways that the Lord establishes obedience in grown-ups, in men and women that are part of the body of Christ. And a lot of that way is through chastening you. And that's just, in layman's terms, getting a whooping and learning how to obey. And if you're a Christian and you're born again, then you know that the Lord has been exercising his correction on you and teaching you lessons. And teaching you lessons that you don't have to learn anymore, but they're eternal lessons. They're lessons that are going to make you more holy and make you more Christ-like. And conforming you into the image of Christ. And what a wonderful thing. But as far as the world goes, we don't need to discuss the world. The world's not interested in obedience. It's interested in it, in the world. But we're not talking about the world. We're talking about the ABCs of Christian growth. Christian growth. These are things and principles and doctrines that Christians ought to be knowing and incorporating into their life and being obedient and allowing the Lord to teach you these things and turn you into the image of Christ, your Savior. So we talked about God's attitude regarding disobedience, and then right after that we went into the source of true obedience, if you remember, and talked about that and some scriptures having to do with that. And then right at the end of our last lesson, we started talking about promises and blessings relating to obedience. I mean, there is good things that come out of being obedient. And you say, well, Brother TV, you shouldn't just be obedient just to get good things. Well, what else would you fight your flesh and discipline yourself and obey and be obedient for? I mean, if it wasn't going to come out good. Yeah, I'm going to take the good things. I mean, if I'm being obedient, the Lord's not slack concerning his promises. He rewards for doing right, and he takes pleasure in rewarding. Now, you can take your reward you ought to be obedient because you want to. I understand where you're coming from about that, and you're exactly right. You ought to be obedient because you want to, not because you have to. But, and that's the way the Lord teaches us. He doesn't teach us to have to. The Lord could make us be obedient if he wanted to, but he doesn't choose to do it that way. He wants us to love him because we choose to love him, because our hearts love him, because we know him personally, and we love him because of who he is, and we admire him and adore him. And we was talking about the promises and the blessings. And we began with about two or three things that we went over the scriptures about concerning that, and then we cut it off. Well, we're going to pick up there, but just to recap just a little bit, we talked about what was God's promise when we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And if you remember, if you remember what the answer was found in 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. It said, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." Now, the Lord enjoys giving us what we ask him for, and it ain't no different. You have an obedient child that loves being obedient. Can't you tell the difference in your child and when he's being obedient because he wants to, or being obedient just because he's scared you're going to beat him and or give him a good whack? But, there's a difference. When a child's being obedient because he wants to, he enjoys being obedient. He takes delight in it. He can't wait to be obedient. And that's the idea of Christian obedience, is enjoying being obedient. And, you know, when we get into eternity, and even in the millennium when Christ is on the throne in Jerusalem and ruling, and we are living in eternity, or living in the millennium then, and he's going to rule with a rod of iron, and it's going to be righteousness everywhere. There's going to be people that are going to be disobedient and rebel against the Lord, but not me. I'm going to be enjoying my obedience. I'm going to have the mind of Christ. I'm going to have a new body fashioned unto like unto his glorious body. I mean, with some of us, that alone ought to make you be obedient, right? But the Lord is very kind to obedience, and he's kind enough to correct us and teach us how to be obedient and what true obedience is. But to be obedient, you got to know the difference between right and wrong. You got to know the difference between left and right. That's why they're trying to and call everything relative today. Because if they can get you to say that there ain't no difference in black and white, and there ain't no difference in salt and pepper, ain't no difference in up and down, it's all relative. It's only how you think of it. If they can get you in a frame of mind like that, then you ain't got no authority to be obedient to. Because it's all relative. There ain't no difference. I mean, it's the same. Whether it's bad or whether it's good, it's all the same. And you see how that goes? But God, and we're talking about the Christian walk and the ABCs of Christian growth. God promises us that whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him. Why? Because we keep His commandments. Now, we're not under the law of the commandments, but we do have commandments in the New Testament that the Lord has given us. New set of commandments, not the old set, not the old commandments, even though they are good and they are righteous. And do those things that are pleasing in His sight. You see, this was in 1 John. We studied another thing there in John 15, chapter 15, verse 10. It said, if you keep my commandments, this is Jesus talking, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Now, that's one thing I guarantee you that you want to be part of, is walking in Christ's love. Once you get a hold of what it is, what the Lord's trying to turn you into and trying to make you holy like Him, and you start changing, start becoming like Christ here and there and here and there and over, and this part of you turning into Christ likeness. Once you start getting all getting a hold of all that and start finding out what Christ is turning you into, you're going to start enjoying that person that you are. You're going to start hating that flesh that's dragging around, and you're going to start loving that person that the Lord's turning you into. I guarantee you. You're going to love what Christ is turning you into. And if you're obedient, you're going to enjoy it anymore. You'll enjoy it even more. Now, where does an obedient Christian abide? He abides in Christ's love. In Christ's love. And that's where we want to be. That's a promise and a blessing. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 31 and 30 through 33, we read that. It said, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, and what shall we drink, and wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth what you have need of, that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You see God's promise right there? God promises you that you'll get your needs and you'll have everything that you have need of, that God knows what you have need of before you ask, the Bible says, and that the Lord will provide for you and give you everything that you need and take care of you very well if you just put Him first, if you'll seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You put the Lord first and put your walk and your heart first with the Lord. And you're not a fake. In other words, you're doing the very best that you can to know God's Word. You're sincere with it. You're sincere about learning. You're sincere about being the person that the Lord wants to turn you into, about being a servant to Him and serving Him, because we are servants to Him now. We are the servants of the Lord. We are the sons and the sons of God and the body of Christ, the church. And you're different. Your life is different. You're not in the world anymore. You're in the world, but not of the world, I mean. You see, and you ought to start, if you're born again, you have already started noticing these things, that you no longer can be comfortable with the world and the world system and your flesh and with the things that the devil wants to introduce you to and give to you. You're not you don't get any pleasure out of that anymore. The Bible says sin is good for a season, you see. And even when you was lost, it was only good for a season. But you didn't get any, you shouldn't be getting any kind of enjoyment or joy out of your sin anymore. Now, another one having to do with promises and blessings. Now, that was a promise and a blessing that the Lord right there in Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 through 33 said that he'd give us all our needs. He'd give us what we need to drink, give us what we need to eat, and he would clothe us. Now, what else does a person need? If you had all three of them things, what else would you need unless you was coveting? You say, well, my electric bill. Well, okay. Well, the Lord will take care of that too, I promise you. You say, what about shoes? That's part of your clothes. Well, what about all my, the things that I need to take care of? I'm telling you. This, when the Lord talks about something to eat and something to drink and to be clothed with, he's talking about you're going to be completely clothed. You're going to be taken care of. And, you know, I don't even have to be part of this study to tell you. I can tell you personally. If the Lord doesn't take care of you and you have sincerely committed yourself and to doing what's right and he doesn't take care of you, you call me and tell me I'm a liar. But I promise you, you won't never call me. Not unless you're the one that's involved in it. But if it comes to the Lord taking care of you and him not being faithful to what he said to you about that promise, you call me and tell me. You won't never call me. I promise you that. I'm telling you, the Lord will take care of you. He will take care of you. Your job is to get yourself sincere and to get yourself to where you know that you're not fighting on the devil's side anymore. You're fighting for the Lord, and you're fighting for the Lord's side. And you're walking by faith. That's the business, you see. Now, another promise that the Lord promises us is found in John chapter 15, verse 14. The Lord said, "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." Now, what's the Lord promise us there? What does obedient make us? If we're being obedient, what does that make us? It makes us the friend of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're his friend. You ever had a friend? You ever had a friend where when you said this, that he is my friend, that you meant it in your heart, or she is my friend, that you meant it in your heart, and you meant friend, real friend? There's not too many of them today that you can get a hold of. Some of you might have a bunch of them, but I haven't met a whole lot of them as far as friends that are real close in your heart. But every one of us has probably had one. And, you know, the Lord said, "Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." If you're sincere and you're serving the Lord and being obedient with him, what does that make you? What does Jesus say that you are to him? You are his friend. Now, that's a statement. The friend of God. That's something, isn't it? That's a blessing. We're talking about promises and blessings regarding obedience. Jesus said right there, or either he's a liar, and we know Jesus ain't no liar. He said, "You're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." Do you know what the Lord commands you? Why don't you? The Scriptures tell us in the New Testament. And his commands are not grievous. They are something that you can do and things that you can have in your life and have joy and be glad they're in there. But there's certain things that you're going to have to fight against in order for it to be that way. And things that you're going to have to put away and things that you're going to have to deny and things that you can't. The Bible says you cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. You can't have both of them. They don't go together. They're contrary. You can't live both of them. You live in one or the other. 1 John chapter 2, verse 5 says, "But whosoever keepeth his word, in him, verily, is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him." You know how you know that you're born again? because the love of God is being perfected in you. You see it changing you and changing you and changing you and changing you, and you're becoming more like the Lord. It's being perfected in you. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Perfected. So what is perfected in our lives when we keep God's word? The love of God. Everybody talks about the love of God. God is love. God is love. Love of God. Love of God. God is love. But I guarantee you walked up out of nine out of ten of them, you walked up to them in private and said, I heard you talking about God is love. Can you tell me something about God's love? They couldn't tell you a thing. Not unless it's personal testimony. I could tell you a whole bunch of things about God's love and kind things that He's done for me. I can prove to you that God loves, that God has shown His love to me. I can prove it to you. And you ought to be able to, too. It says the love of God is perfected, but whoso keepeth His word. And I'm not saying, the Lord doesn't say that you don't strive to keep His word or you're not working at it. Yes, of course we are. He didn't say perfection. He said that you're being, I mean, you don't have to perfect something that's already perfect. Did you get that? But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily the love of God is the love of God perfected. You don't have to perfect something that's already perfect. So in other words, God understands that we're not perfect. And that's why he perfects his love in us when we keep his word. And he rewards us. And he promises us that his love is going to start perfecting us. Doesn't that excite you at all? It should. It should. There are promises and blessings relating to obedience. And that's not all. The Bible says in, let's see here, 1 John chapter 2, verse 5, but whoso keepeth his word, I just read that. Excuse me, my mistake. Next one. That's not all. James chapter 1, verse 22. You know I'm not perfect, right? I can back up and read that verse again. But James chapter 1, verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now that right there, that's the nail right there. If we hear the word of God and don't do anything about it, what's the result of it? Well, what's the Bible say? It says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You go to church and you listen and you're faithful to church and you're listening to the message and everything else, and you leave church and you hug, you shake hands and say hello and try to bless people with your words and this and that and the other and go through all the formalities and then leave church and turn into another person and ain't interested in the least of what the preacher or what the message said or what God's word said and forget about it altogether when you leave, what's that make you? The Bible says you deceive your own self. But be doers of the word and not hearers only. You can hear the word of God all you want to. But if you want the blessings and you want the promises, you got to be a doer of the word. He didn't say perfect. He said that you're trying. Let me ask you something. Are you trying? The best of your ability, and as sincere as you know how to say it, where would you place yourself of whether you are or whether you are not sincere with being obedient to God's word and to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you? Well, I could be a little bit better, brother. Well, yes, we all could. But is the light on or is the light off? It's one of two. I'm talking to Christians now. The world ain't interested in this. And God doesn't promise any blessings to the world. Jesus didn't pray for them in John chapter 17. He said, I pray not for the world. He prayed for us. promise and blessings regarding obedience. We're talking about obedience. That's what this study's about. And most people nowadays grit their teeth when they hear obey. Obey. When they hear obedience, they grit their teeth. Or they might not. They might do it unconsciously, not even knowing it. I wonder why you're grinding your teeth down. Because somebody's talking about obedience. That shouldn't be Christians. Christians ought to be excited about being obedient to the Lord. When you're walking right with the Lord, obedience doesn't offend you. It doesn't offend you. There's another promise found in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27. I'm going to give you these scriptures, and I hope you'll go back over them, and you'll understand that God means business. If you believe that book, and you believe God's word, and you take it what it says, and what it means, and take it literally, and don't try to go no Greek and Hebrew about it, blabbity, blab, blab, blab. Just take it in the English. I speak it English. To English, read it. And what God says, He means. He said, here's the promises and here's the blessings. And He's talking about being obedient in every one of these verses. Listen to this in Matthew chapter 7. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. What's he talking about doing and doing not? It's the difference of whether you're going to be obedient or not. He didn't say perfected or the best, no, blabbity blah. He said do them or don't do them. One or the other. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. What's the Lord Jesus compare the life of an obedient person? He compares it to somebody that built their house on a good foundation that can take care of them and hold them and not let them fall, right? So the Lord's promising you, what's He promising you there? Stability. He's promising you His strength to keep you, that you build your house upon a rock, the right foundations. One of Jesus' names is Rock, the Rock. So promises and blessings concerning obedience. Now, that's not all. Let's move into another category of obedience. Let's talk about the right attitude in obedience. You say, oh, man, I knew you was going to get to that. Well, you know, it matters. It matters. I mean, you people that have children, doesn't it make a difference in the attitude altogether about whether or not somebody's, whether your children are obedient or not? I mean, even if they try to be obedient, and they mean it, and it don't come out good, you still give them credit for it because they meant it, right? Because they had the right attitude about obedience. They wasn't trying to trick you or deceive you or be fakes or try to steal from you or try to whatever. But they you know that they're honest with you. Your children are honest with you, and they're trying to do right. They're trying to do right. And as a matter of fact, sometimes they don't even get disciplined because of their attitude of being obedient. I mean, even getting in trouble with the law, sometimes the law turns you loose. They know what kind of person you are just because of your attitude. Just because they know that you are an obedient person and your attitude is sincere. Now, it's against the human nature. And when I say human nature, talking about the sinful, Adamic, carnal, fleshly nature. It's against that kind of it's against that nature that is part of every one of us right now, until the Lord comes and changes it, or either your body goes back to the grave, you're stuck with it until the Lord changes that, or the grave changes it, or either the Lord comes and catches us out of here and changes us. You're stuck with it until that time. But it's against your fleshly, your carnal, your Adamic and sinful nature to obey. Your flesh does not want to obey nothing. It is selfish as it can be, and it wants what it wants, when it wants it, and it wants it now. And if you can't testify to that, you're deceiving yourself, because your flesh is no good. I don't care who you are. The Bible tells us that. And the right attitude and obedience does not come from the flesh or originate from the flesh, because the flesh is one-sided. It don't want to do anything spiritual at all. There's nothing spiritual about it, and it don't want. Matter of fact, it fights against the spiritual things that you try to have in your life. It doesn't want to obey. Romans, remember Romans chapter 7, verse 18, the Bible, Paul said, he said, "For I know that in me," Paul said this now, "for I know that in me," parentheses, that is, in my flesh, "dwelleth no good thing. For to will," I want to do it, what I mean, I'm willing, "for to will is present with me." I want to be obedient, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Paul said he even had problems with it. He said, "I want to be obedient," and he said, "and my intentions are to be obedient, and I'm going to be obedient." He said, "but this flesh," he said, "it don't want to be obedient no time." He said, "I can't make my flesh be obedient for nothing." He said, "for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." The Bible says in John chapter 15 and verse 3 and 7, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." And in comes the word of God. Until the word of God becomes part of your person and part of your every single day I'm trying to think. You've got to have the Word of God in your life. It's got to be in your mind. It's got to be in your heart. You've got to saturate yourself with the Word of God. Obedience comes as a result of knowing and fearing and obeying God's Word. God's Word is everything. It's everything. It ain't just a book to carry to church and then bring it home and set it on a little doily on a little placemat or a doily sitting on a pretty table for everybody to walk by and see to know you got a Bible. It's to be read and studied and cherished and adored. And I'm telling you, the more you get into God's Word and you discipline yourself to let God the Holy Ghost teach you out of His book, you're the one that's going to receive the blessing. You are. We're talking about the right attitude in obedience. If your attitude against the Word of God, if your attitude with the Word of God is, "I don't want to have nothing to do with it until Sunday, and I just want people to see me carrying it," you ain't going to have much of an attitude of obedience toward the Father and toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever your attitude toward the Word of God is more than likely the same as your attitude is concerning obedience. Now, it takes a while to get used to being in God's Word, and the enemy fights that, and the flesh fights that. The biggest thing in the Christian realm that the enemies... And when we say enemies, we're talking about the devil, talking about the flesh, and talking about the world. The biggest thing that them three right there fight you for to take away from you is the Word of God. All three of them want to get the Word of God and do anything they can to get the Word of God away from you and take your interest away from it, take your discipline away from it, take your reading away from it, take your hearing away from it, take your talking about it away from it. Anything they can do, that's what they do. And the first thing in a war, when two countries go to war, the very first thing that they plan, as far as strategic goes, is to take out the enemy's communication. Because if they can't communicate with one another, then you got them beat. And the main thing that the enemy wants to take away from you, Christian, is your communication with the Lord. Obedience. Obedience ought to be in Psalm chapter 40. Listen to this. Psalm chapter 40, verse 8. Listen to what the Bible says. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yeah, thy law is within my heart. David said, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yeah, thy law is within my heart. God bragged on David and said David was a man after his own heart, and I believe that had part to do with obedience, didn't it? Because David said, I delight to do thy will. Lord, I don't just do your will because I know it pleases you and because that's what a Christian's supposed to do. And this, Lord, I delight to do thy will. And that's the way you ought to be. And I ought to be. You ought to do. That was something on one of these things I'm using here. Sorry about that. I delight to do thy will. So, according to Psalm chapter 40, verse 8, obedience ought to be a delight. That's part of your attitude. The right kind of attitude when it comes to obedience to the Lord, or comes to the subject of obedience that we're studying, is that obedience ought to be a delight to you. You know what delight means. There's some things that please you every time they come into your life or a part of your life. There's some things that please you and give you delight, that never disappoint you. They're delight. Obedience ought to be. Being obedient to the Lord ought not make you ashamed. Ought not make you feel like a prisoner or a captive, that you've been taken captive by the Lord. You ought to get delight out of serving Him. David said that, I forget how he said it, but he said that he'd rather be a doorkeeper for the Lord. You ought to love serving the Lord so much and get so much delight out of it. If the Lord asks you to be the trash man, that you'd just be the most happiest, joyful trash man there was. That's not all. The right attitude and obedience is what we're talking about. Obedience is to be with what? Well, listen to this in Deuteronomy chapter 26. Deuteronomy 26:16 says, This day the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments. Thou shalt therefore keep and do them with all thine heart and with all thy soul. Of course, we're talking about Old Testament, but the principle's still the same. The Lord said to do it with all your heart and with all your soul. So obedience is to be with the whole what? With the whole heart and soul. Now, you've heard that in your life before when you're talking about with all your heart and with all your soul. You've heard that before. You've said that in your life or heard that said in your life. Man, they do that with the whole heart, and do that with their whole soul. You know what that means? That means you're completely dedicated to it, and you enjoy it, and you're given over to it. Because you want to, not because you have to. Obedience. Folks, you ought not be ashamed to be obedient to your Lord. It ought to be a delight to you. And you ought to do it with your whole heart and your whole soul. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible says, only be thou strong and very courageous. You remember this. This is the Lord giving instruction to Joshua after Moses died, and he's trying to encourage him. He said, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Obedience requires us to be what? It requires us to be strong. Obedience don't come easy. It takes a strong person to be obedient. There's a whole bunch of people out there that talk about, well, I'm this and I'm that and I'm this and I'm that and you can't reach my caliber and blabbity blabbity blah blah blah. And you know what I say? I say any of y'all that think you, all any of you snooty people out there with your nose up so high up in the air if it rains you drown. But any of you snooty people out there that think you really something and you really doing something, how about trying to be obedient Christian and walk as an obedient Christian and be sincere about it? Tell me how strong you are then. You want to talk about something that you got to be strong for is being obedient. Is being obedient to the Lord. It's not grievous, but you got to be strong. He told Joshua that. He said, be strong and something else. Very courageous. Do you know that being obedient takes courage? It takes courage. Not only takes courage, but takes that obedience requires us to be strong and very courageous. Remember when I was talking about the enemy and how to try to take the word of God away from you? And how that's going to be continuous. If you're going to serve the Lord, you're going to be attacked. Don't think it might come around or might happen to pass by your town or something like that. Expect attack if you're going to live for the Lord and you're going to be obedient. You say, well, Brother TV, I don't want to be attacked. I don't want the enemy to attack. Of course, nobody does. But that's part of it. And the Lord protects you through all of it anyway. He does. But you got to be courageous. You got to have courage to live for the Lord and be obedient for the Lord. And the things that you walk by faith, the things that's going to happen in your life are not going to be like mortal things, things that are going to be spiritual things. You're going to still be living in the world, but not of the world. You're going to be walking by faith. And obedience is a part of your faith. And it's going, you got to be strong and be courageous, just like the Lord told Joshua. Another right thing, and remember what we're talking about. We're talking about the right attitude in obedience. The right attitude. And having the right attitude is going to cost you that you're going to have to be strong to keep the right attitude. Because the enemy is going to try to tell you that the Lord's doing you wrong and he's deceiving you and lying to you. I mean, all kind of stuff that the enemy, he don't fight fair. And his intention is not to be fair with you. His intention is to kill you. Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He don't want to just come and trip you and give you a scratch or a claw mark. He wants to kill you and completely devour you and take you out. Yeah. Psalm 119, verse 60, listen, concerning the right attitude in obedience. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Psalm 119, verse 60. What's it say? I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. So when obeying the Lord, we need to make haste. What's that mean? Right away. Act like it's important. Not just acting as in putting on a show, but your behavior shows that the things the Lord wants and the obedience that it requires out of you is important to you. When obeying the Lord, we need to make haste. Do it right away. And do not delay. Do not delay. That's not all. What else? The Bible says in Luke chapter 5. You listening? The Bible says in Luke chapter 5 and verse 4 through 8. We're talking about the right attitude. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draw. And that was the Lord. You know, the Lord's telling Peter to launch out into the deep and throw his nets in the water and catch some fish. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Now, you can think about Peter now. He's a professional fisherman. He's been fishing all his life. He's a rough man. And he just got through fishing all night, and he put his nets back up, and he's cleaning his nets and folding his nets, getting them ready for the next time, and he's wore out. And the Lord loads up on his boat, and he tells him, cast out. And go down here and take your nets and throw them out for a draw so you can catch some fish. And the first thing Peter's saying is in his mind is, there ain't no fish out there. There ain't a fish without 1,000 miles from here, Lord. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Talking about the attitude of obedience. What should our attitude be when God's word seems to contradict our own judgment? Peter thought that the Lord's word was contradicting what was really going to happen by his own experience of the past. He'd been out there fishing. There were no fish. He came back in. The Lord told him to go right back out and do the same thing he'd been doing all night. And Peter said, he was thinking, you can imagine what he was thinking in his mind. Lord, I am wore out and I ain't got time. I want to go home and go to bed. But nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when he let it down, the Lord loaded them up, didn't he? You know, what should our attitude be when God's word seems to contradict our own judgment? Our own attitude ought to be obedient to the Lord, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it costs us, no matter what kind of courage and strength that we have to mind the Lord. The Lord didn't need them fish. The Lord can have fish anytime He wanted. He wanted to give them something. And all they had to do was obey. And He did obey. He said, nevertheless, at thy word. He said, this is going against my better judgment, Lord. And I done cleaned all these nets, and I got the boat straightened up, and I already had it docked and had it put up, and I was fixing to get ready to go home, eat something, and go to bed. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when he did, the Lord rewarded him, didn't he? The right attitude and obedience. And one more thing before we stop today. Talking about the right attitude and obedience. Obedience is very important to you, friend. Brothers and sisters, one of the things that we shouldn't have to fight with the Lord about is whether or not we're sincere about being obedient to Him. Sometimes we get confused and we don't know exactly how to be obedient to the Lord, but the Lord teaches us that also. And His word is very important to having to do with our walk with Him. It is the important thing. You cannot play around with God's word and expect that God's word is just going to jump in you. And now the Lord does give us His word and teach us, but 99% of everything in your walk is going to be because of God's word. You've got to begin to love God's word and be obedient to God's word. You say, well, I don't read very well. Well, then just read like you read and don't worry about it. I don't study very well. I don't hear very well. Well, just do the best you can. That's all the Lord said. He said, if there be first a willing mind, a willing mind. Are you willing? Are you willing? Obedience, the right attitude. One more thing, Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, verse 28 through 31, listen to this. It says, "But what think ye?" It's the Lord talking. "A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' He answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterward, he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, 'I go, sir,' and went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father?" They say unto him, "The first." Jesus said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you." Now, of course, the Lord was giving a parable unto them smart aleck Pharisees and Sadducees, is always trying to trick him and wind and mess him up in his words and trying to make him look like a fool. The publicans or the Pharisees and all the orthodox religious people is always trying to mess the Lord up. But the Lord said right there, he gave him a parable and he said, which one of these sons was obedient? He said, one of them said that he wasn't going to do it, and then he turned around and repented and did do it. And he said, one of them said that he would do it and didn't do it. Which one of them was obedient? They said the first one. And he was right. They answered right. But the Lord said, and then he made them mad. He stuck them with a knife. He stuck them with that word. He said, the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God. Now, of course, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is the spiritual things of God and the things about God, that the knowledge of God. The kingdom of God is within you, the Bible says. And it's not a literal kingdom like the kingdom of heaven. It's not a place that you can go to and touch. The kingdom of God is spiritual. It's the realm that we live in, having to do with the spiritual things of God and knowing the things of God. And the Lord said that the publicans, that's the tax collectors that was ripping off the people, the publicans and the harlots, you know what a harlot is, publicans and harlots go into the kingdom of God before you do. See these orthodox religious people walking around, and they were pretending to be Christ-like and love God and obedient to God, but really in their hearts they was vipers. The Lord said they were hypocrites. But then he compared them to the publicans that were sinners and the harlots that were sinners, and they repented. They was out there sinning, and then they repented and done the will of God. And he asked them that question, and they told on themselves. And the Lord said, "Verily I say unto you, the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you do." Obedience. You know, good intentions alone. Matthew 21:28-31 there says let me ask you a question. Are good intentions alone sufficient for obedience? Coulda, shoulda, woulda, didn't. You ever heard somebody accuse somebody else and say, "Yeah, you ain't nothing but a bunch of talk"? That's all you do is talk, 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 talk. What are they saying? And saying the same thing the Lord's saying right there. In 1 Corinthians there, the Bible says, "But I would have you know, the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." Now, we just got through talking about this thing about obedience. Now, obedience has a lot to do with a lot of different subjects in the Word of God, having to do with the man, having to do with the woman, and having to do with the children, having to do with your boss man, having to do with being a servant to working for a master, your job, all kinds of things having to do with obedience. And if you're obedient to the Lord, obedience to others will follow. Most of the time when you're disobedient to anything in your life and you're being rebellious and disobedient to anything in your life, it's going to back all the way up to disobedience to the Lord. Every Christian needs to recognize what's been termed God's chain of command. God works by a chain of command. Now, by this we mean that not every action required of us is commanded directly from heaven, but that God has placed others over us in various segments of our life who's going to be used by Him to accomplish His perfect will in our lives. In other words, God uses other people and their authority that He has given them to help us. Now, in saying this, it's necessary to also mention that God expects that we continually search the Scriptures to know His will, to know that the ones that God puts over us are telling the truth, and that God will never go against His word, or that He will never tell anybody else to go against His word when it comes to obeying. When God wants somebody to teach you or for you to learn from somebody, He's going to pick somebody that loves His word and that will never go against His word when teaching you, will never correct His word, will never say, well, a better way of putting it is, the person that the Lord puts over you to teach you, or that He expects in His chain of command for you to be obedient to, will always make you come out better. It'll minister grace to you. It will cause you to love God's word and respect it and honor it, rather than thinking that there's a mistake in it. Now, the Lord will never send anyone to teach you contrary to His word or teach you a lie unless you want to be taught a lie. Anyone in this category is not sent from the Lord. But when He does place authorities over us, we are to submit to these authorities as unto the Lord. Yes, yes, yes. I've had five pastors in my life since I've been saved. I've had five pastors in my life that have all taught me different things, serious different things, and I had to submit to every one of them, even the ones that taught me wrong and told me some stupid stuff and taught me what the truth was not. And you'll get some of them too. Now, an example of this chain of command that the Lord we're talking about in relation to marriage is given in that 1 Corinthians 11:3, what I just got through reading you a minute ago. A wife who truly loves God will try to never run her husband or belittle him in public, but lovingly submit to his leadership as unto the Lord. Now, you think what you want, but get in that Bible and find out what that Bible says, not what you want it to say. And if you don't want to be obedient in God's chain of command, then that's the end of the conversation. That's your decision. But that don't make it right. Now, these statements have nothing to do with equality or inequality or I got my rights, blabbity, blabbity, blah, blah, blah. Both men and women are to obey what the Scriptures say. We never have the right to do wrong, ever. It is what saith the Lord, period. Amen? So, obedience. And how do you find out what to be obedient to or what the Lord's will is? from the Word of God. Now ye are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. Amen. So we've talked about the right attitude in obedience today. And very important when it comes to the letter O in obedience and the ABCs of Christian growth. Good stuff, huh? Good stuff. And Lord, I delight to do thy will. I delight to do thy will. It ought not grieve you in the chain of command that God has placed you wherever you are, if you're the top dog or if you're the bottom, wherever you're at in that chain of command with the Lord, from the Lord, you serve as unto the Lord, and you serve with a willing mind and a willing heart, and with delight, because we serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, well, let me give you these scriptures. Are you ready? We started with the promises. I left off and told you that I was going to give you all the scriptures from the promise and blessings relating to obedience on this one, and that's what we'll do. Here's the first one. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. John chapter 15, verse 10. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 and through 33. John chapter 15, verse 14. 1 John chapter 2, verse 5. James chapter 1, verse 22. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27. And Romans chapter 7, verse 18. John chapter 15, verse 3 and 7. Psalm chapter 40, verse 8. Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 16. Joshua chapter 1, verse 7. Psalm chapter 119, verse 60. Luke chapter 5, verse 4 through 8. Two more. Matthew chapter 21, verse 28 through 31. And 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. And there's the scriptures for today concerning obedience and our study of the letter O in the ABCs of Christian growth. And what we have talked about today is the promises and blessings relating to obedience and the right attitude in obedience when it comes to what the Bible says about obedience, okay? And in our next program, we'll get into a different category of obedience, and we'll talk about the Lord Jesus Christ as our example and His obedience, what He was obedient and how He was obedient. And we will also talk about some different relationships that require obedience toward authority. The different kinds of relationships that obedience is involved in when it comes to authority. And what the Bible says about it. We have scripture all the way through these things that we're talking about. It's not my opinion. It's what the Bible says. Even though my opinion is what the Bible says. And I hope yours is. And it should be. Because the Lord will never let you down, and God's Word will never let you down. You can trust God's Word, and you can trust the Lord. And you can trust people that are serious about serving the Lord and obedient to the Lord. There are people that you can trust, but they get far few and in between in this period that we live in nowadays, but we don't have to fear that. The Bible says our spirits will bear witness for one another that we are the sons of God. And you can tell who's walking in truth and who's walking being a fake. So the Lord bless you. And I've enjoyed studying about obedience with you. And I look forward to the next program with you. This is Brother Thurman. Bye-bye.